You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
The show must go on is something that we often say, and I thank again Keith Alexander for his contributions to the show every week, but especially during tonight's third hour when he did so much of the heavy lifting. Keith has actually been dispatched right now. He's not scheduled to be on the show in the third hour anyway. Eddie the Bombiner Miller is out tonight. So it's going to be me and you folks. But Keith, I don't feel quite 100% today. I had a late night last night, so Keith has been dispatched to Walgreens around the corner to get some Alka-Seltzer and bring it back to the studio. So we're doing everything in real time here. But it has been a busy year of broadcasting, full of guests and incredible shows. But I'm going to slow down the pace this hour. I want to reflect a little bit, speak directly to you, ladies and gentlemen, my dear audience. I want to brag on you a little bit. But first, we got to remember, you know how much I hate fundraising, but if we don't do it, we're not here. And it is about a week remains in our third quarter fundraising drive. If it ended today, we'd be in a little bit of a trouble. But the last couple of days have been very good. We need a few more days like that to round out the month, and thankfully we still do have a little over 1 week to shore up our standing. I have learned, and I wrote this out this week, I have learned over the years to always trust in our listening family. For 14 years, you have never let us down, and I have no reason to believe that anything's going to change over the course of the next few days. We read some letters from y'all at the top of the second hour. Heartwarming notes that you send in every day. You've sent them in this month. You send them in every month. And I know and you know that there's never going to be another program like the one that we faithfully delivered to you since 2004. This true atmosphere of togetherness that we have made real, is something totally unique to the relationship that TPC shares with its audience. And if we ever did falter, I know that there's never going to be another experience like the one that we have. That's something worth fighting to preserve. That's why I put in hard work every day, every week, to do my part for you. And we've got a crucial week ahead of us. So I anxiously await your response. We need you to stand with us. And this is our hour of need. You can go to thepoliticalcesspool.org right now and make a contribution online. You can always do it like your grandfather did, mail in a check. That still happens. But I do believe, folks, I am an optimist, and I do believe that our ultimate victory will occur. And when that triumph happens, when we triumph, when our people triumph over these dark and troubling times, I think that there's going to be a chapter about TPC and the good men and women who helped keep us going during these long years when there was no other pro-white voice on the AM airwaves. So I am proud, of course, of the show that we've built together, our decade and a half of unprecedented accomplishments. And, of course, I'd like to see it continue. And you have a voice in that, as you always have. My friends. And so we ask you to contribute $100 or more. Of course, you're going to get a DVD of the speech that I delivered to the League of the South. So not a book this time, but a DVD that can be played on your DVD player, your television, your computer, the speech that I gave at the League of the South. Hey, you just heard it last week when Michael Hill was on. Full endorsement, full-throated endorsement by Michael Hill. So that should be worth something. $200 or more, you get the speech and the latest edition of the Occidental Quarterly, edited by our good friend Kevin McDonald. Now, one thing we like to do during these months, we do them four times a year, hence the name Quarterly Fundraising Drive. This is our third quarter drive. We used to do it more than we do now. We've just been so busy this year. But I want to call out the names of the cities from which we've received support over the course of the last few weeks. And I just get a thrill doing this every time we do it, just to know where our listeners are coming in from. I mean, we have listeners, of course, that we've never heard from. But to know that our listeners are spread out all over the world, and they're tuned in tonight, they're tuned in every week, and they love the show so much that they give us a little bit of their hard-earned money, which we respect, appreciate, and we always work to be sound stewards of that investment in what we're doing here. But this is where people are tuned in to TPC from this month. Thomasville, Georgia. Nunley, Tennessee. Alberta, Canada. Jackson, Michigan, North Palm Beach, Florida, Chino, California. Now, this guy in Chino sends in a small amount of money, but he does it every week, and so it really adds up, and I can't thank him enough. Bill out in Chino, we love you. Beaumont, Texas, London, England, San Marcos, California, Five Points, Tennessee. I've lived in Tennessee my whole life. We receive support from cities I've never even heard of. Green Valley, Arizona, Abilene, Texas, old Abilene, Mesquite, Nevada, Callahan, Florida, the south of Australia. That's actually a province. It's called South Australia. All the way in Australia, down under, people are tuned in would be, I guess, Sunday afternoon over there right now. Scottsdale, Arizona, Silver Springs, Maryland, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Rockville, Maryland, Alma, Arkansas, big cities, small hamlets, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Irvine, California, Riviera Beach, Florida, Hazard, Kentucky, the Duke of Hazard himself. And Sam Bushman will remember this gentleman. He's the one that took us out for that fantastic steak dinner when we were in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. Bromley, Kent, the United Kingdom, Pickens, South Carolina, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Now, this is our good friend who called in a couple of weeks ago to give us the lay of the land there with regards to their presidential elections. And he has a brother down there also in the area who is a monthly contributor as well. Franklin, Tennessee, Evans, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Here comes the Confederate States now. Marietta, Georgia, Solon, Ohio, Gallatin, Tennessee. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Jan. Pachogue, New York, Whiteville, Tennessee, Moravia, New York, Nashville, Tennessee again, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Ephrata, Washington, Windermere, Florida. Somebody's donating from Disney World. Baldwin, New York, Caldwell, Idaho, Ocala, Florida, Salt Lake City, Utah, Ryson, Arkansas. Brother Brian, always there for us. Dallas, Texas, Centerville, Alabama, Troy, New York, Montville, New Jersey, White River Junction, Vermont, Beecher, Illinois, Travelers Rest, South Carolina. Thank you, Scott. DixieRepublic.com, DixieRepublic.com for all your southern wear and wares. Thank you, folks. Thank you for being an audience worth our very best. You give us your best. We try to reciprocate. Together, we have done some things that other people just haven't been able to do. But we do it because we are united. And, well, you know how much I love you. And it's just, I love reading those cities. We do it, again, four times a year. We like to shout out, do a little roll call from the places from which we're receiving your support. Great to know that there's TPC fans out there. And that's not all of them. That's just the ones I was able to jot down very quickly before the show started tonight. But we'd certainly like to see, and we need to see a few more before the end of the month. We really do. So if you can donate now, between now and the end of the show, we'll call out your city right here live before we run out of time this evening. And then you still have a week. The deadline is September 30th. Hate. Spending a segment doing fundraising, but it makes all the difference in whether or not we'll be here in October. I'd like to be here for 14 more years to match the 14 we've already been on the air. All depends on you folks, as it always has. We'll be back to work when we return. Stay tuned.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I want to be sure to personally signal out to Buddy in Jonesboro, Arkansas, who is just with us in such a big way every quarter. Also, Canadian Keith up in, Canada, as it were. And a listener in Baldwin, New York, who sure enough made a contribution during the commercial break. Thank you, our friend up in Baldwin. Thank you, brother. And he's a guy who not only listens every week, but he communicates with me in real time during the show every week via Twitter. Yeah, thank you, Keith. Keith is back now with my medicine, so I'm going to get some Alka-Seltzer. Going to get some Alka-Seltzer in here, and Keith brought his dog with him, too, I see, back to the station. Hey, I want to direct your attention to the website very quickly, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll put a couple of videos up there we want you to take a look at. I had the chance, once again, to sit down with Ken Givitan and Kyle Rogers on Ken's YouTube channel. We had a wide-ranging discussion of important topics that included equality, feminism, narrative-based reporting, Hurricane Florence, and much more. Real fun and free-flowing guest appearance, and had a great time. So we put the video of that up at The Political Cesspool. It was an action-packed hour of conversation. And Keith has done another video, an updated tour of Nathan Bedford Forest Park. And that's up at thepoliticalcesspool.org as well. Keith has done a handful of videos at the Confederate Parks here in Memphis, and you can see what's going on there today. Check that out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. A lot of exciting stuff going on here at TPC. And, of course, the man who makes it all possible is none other than Sam Bushman. And I've asked Sam if he would kindly sit in with us for a segment, and he has graciously agreed. He's got some great topics for us, Sam.
Thank you, sir. By the way, I'm just part of the mix. Remember that. I'm grateful to be part of it. We all participate together to make it all happen. Two quick topics. I know we've only got a short segment to cover them. You bringing them up. The first one is Colin Kaepernick, I guess, was hanging from a rope, and there's a big old fiasco about it. First a soundbite, then we'll talk about it.
Colin Kaepernick, you know, hanging from a noose.
This is the picture being shared online, posted by Joseph, who wanted to be referred to only by his first name.
I posted it because I did drive past there probably about three or four times, you know, driving down there, and I didn't notice that.
The picture taken by his friend inside the Bowtie Barber Shop in downtown Placerville shows former 49er Colin Kaepernick hanging from the ceiling by a noose.
I literally had no idea that I was offending people. You know, we have a hangman out here called George, and so you know, with the theme of Hangtown. I hung him, and it was wrong. It was absolutely wrong.
Bowtie Barber is a well-known public figure in this community and says the hang doll has been here since 2016, when Kaepernick and a teammate kneeled during the national anthem.
I'm a diehard 49ers fan, and when that action happens, there was a lot of stuff that was portrayed on the 49ers, and I took it personally.
But even with an apology, some like Joseph say the damage is already done.
Imagine how many kids already unseen that doll. Imagine a lot of people that really disagree with them. They should be playing in the mud and playing football, not worrying about why Colin Kaepernick is hanging from a dang rope on the ceiling.
Now Bowtie Barber says he's learned a valuable lesson and hopes his apology is accepted.
I am publicly announcing that I apologize. It was the wrong thing for me to do. Absolutely will never happen again. I absolutely see the other side of it. I'm sorry.
All right, you want to respond to this, James, first?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is Colin Kaepernick is such a wonderful All-American. How could anybody want to desecrate a doll? But no, in all seriousness, well, of course, you know, when something like that happens, it's going to make national news. I don't think it's a news story at all, and the apology quickly followed, and that's pretty much par for the course.
And the only reason that I bring it up is I don't think it's a big news story except for this. This guy hangs all kinds of dolls. This has never been a racial thing before. Now all of a sudden it's racial, and the guy has to apologize because it's a, quote, black person doll. Any other time it wasn't, you know, it was just kind of the noose of the old kind of West barbershop idea or whatever else, and it was just kind of a hangman. Now kids shouldn't be able to play hangman at all in school or anything else anymore. And so what I'm saying is they've literally taken this and created a racial issue. He just simply disagreed with the attitudes and actions of Kaepernick. There was no intention to literally hang a black man from the ceiling, but that's the way it's being manipulated is the point.
Well, we've seen that story before, haven't we, Sam? I mean, this is
over and over again.
The latest verse in this particular song that stuck on repeat. They can always find an angle. But you have another story that I found very fascinating.
It's even more riveting, but I wanted to cover that one just because, again, you got another guy literally apologizing. I would have just simply said this. You know what? I'm not going to apologize for hanging Kaepernick. I'm going to hang anybody I want to as a joke and as a effort to say I disagree with him politically. That doesn't mean that it's a racial agenda. Why do you guys want to make everything racial? What if I hang Mickey Mouse because I don't like Disney? All right. What if, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And we need to understand that we got to stand up and say, look, you're the only one making it racial, people.
Well, you know, I can give you a comparable example in which the people who were perpetrating it were cheered on and seen as heroes. And that was at a NPI conference a couple of years ago. I think they had they burned Kevin McDonald in effigy. It was this, you know, figure, this likeness of Kevin McDonald. They set it on fire. So, and I think they did it with Richard and a couple of other people too. So, you know, that kind of violent, that sort of in your face, no doubt about it, violent, you know, this threatening behavior is
it's not
wonderful.
That I like it. It's not that I would do it. I don't think it's it, but I'm just saying they don't need to always right. turn it into a racial issue. What if I don't like Amazon? I say they're taking over the world. So I do, Jeff Bezos or whatever the CEO of that. And I just say, hey, you know what? I hate that. Is that racial now because he's white or what? See what I mean? It just gets out of control. We've got to at some point take the narrative back and say, you know what? You can't turn this into what I never intended it to be, no matter how hard you want to make that the case. All right. Next story.
Well,
there's two people, MIT and Yale, teamed up on a university-esque study, if you will. And they basically say now, hey, all the figures used to determine how many illegal aliens in America, the 11.3 million, they've talked about forever. Many of us have said, and I've said this for decades, there's way more than that in the country. They laugh and say, you don't have any evidence of that. Now it turns out MIT and Yale say that we're right. There's double, and the methodology that's been used forever is simply not factual and not credible. It's all based on surveys. It's bogus, and they have a much more meaningful, rich way to look at this now, and the numbers are double. MIT and Yale claim.
Well, we don't serve a lot of black pills on this show. We do try to be encouraging and uplifting, and certainly we are, and we have a lot of reason to be. But at the same time, we have to be real, and we have to face the facts. And the new facts suggest that, as I'm reading from Sam's headline, Yale study finds that the number of illegals in the USA is double that of the previous estimate. So that's something interesting, something to to keep in mind.
Well, it just goes to show, you know, they used to say that we were wrong and they used to mock us as conspiracy theorists and everything else. Now, once again, they have to admit we were correct and they were wrong and they peddled fake news forever on their false agenda because they have an agenda. And now that might change the game for Donald Trump as he cracks down on the border. So there you go.
Well, and of course, there are so many states. I mean, even Georgia, even deep red state Georgia, because of Atlanta and because of all the richness of diversity that they have down there, even Georgia is in play for the Democrats now. I mean, you think of some of these swing states like Florida, but Georgia is now a swing state. So this is and stuff like this. I mean, it gets
psychotic.
Worse.
It's crazy.
Every 2 years, it's going to get that much worse because you just got to. Well, I mean, it is what it is. It's a completely open border. They're flooding in, and as bad as we thought it was, it would appear to be even worse.
Let's make this very clear before the end of the segment, too. I'm not doubling down and saying it's fine to hang people from nooses. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this was never intended to what it's being manipulated to be, and this poor guy got hung out the dry, and he's all apologizing how horrible it is, and I'm saying that it was twisted to what he never intended, and that's the problem where they do this to us all the time. They manipulate what we say and do way outside of our intended purposes, and they take advantage of us. You see it on the courts with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and you see it in society. You see it everywhere, and it's got to stop, folks. This double standard situational ethics has got to stop.
You don't have to tune in to Great Radio just on Saturday, LibertyRoundtable.com, Monday through Friday. Thank you, Sam, for hopping on for a segment.
Thanks, James.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
As we turn the corner and head down the home stretch of tonight's broadcast, we want to welcome back to the show Jack Ryan after a month off. Jack's back, and that's why we didn't play Hit the Road, Jack, as his intro music tonight. And Jack needed some time off. He had a lot going on that he needed to take care of, and I told him after a year of service, and he's given us about a year, he gets to take that month furlough, a little sabbatical. Now he's back, and we're grateful for it. So what have you been doing the last month?
Well, I was trying to really get out of Chicago, to cut my losses and just get out of it. Chicago's a beautiful city. It's great, but it's feeling very much like late 80s, early 90s New York City, and I was there. Brutal murder and mayhem. I look at some statistics. Okay, this year in Chicago, shot and wounded, 1,890. Total homicides, 421. It's like murder and mayhem. The politics is terrible. Actually, there was at least more conservatives in the late 80s in New York City. There was the Manhattan Institute. There was the New York Post. New York Police Department. Chicago, from a populist conservative perspective, is dreadful. It's god awful. So I try to do that, but I'm in and outside of Chicago. But I've got property and business connections there. I was not able to sell it, so I'm here. So, you know, say some prayers for me, but I'm here and making the best of it, like a third tour of combat Vietnam veteran. Like, I'm here. Chicago's a rough place, you know. So, but baby, I'm back. This week I'm back. I missed my TPC listeners and give them the best. So at least for tonight, I am back.
Well, you know, you got to recharge the batteries from time to time, and it's not like we're chopping logs here on the radio every night. I mean, it does take a mental toll on you, because you always have to be ready, you always have to be prepared. So it's good to take a little time off, recharge the batteries, and now we've got you back where you belong. And I missed you, the audience missed you, and you know, we were talking on the phone a couple of days ago. I'll let the audience know about this. I said, well, you know, you might not be able to leave Chicago when you want it, but at least winter's about to set in, so that sort of is going
to
take down the crime rate a little bit. But you said that the usual...
It used to cut down the crime a lot, but our criminals, they've adapted. They can rob and kill people in any season. They're like cockroaches that survived a nuclear war. So it's just like, no, you can't. And so we both have to adapt. We have to get it tough and to try to deal with it. I'm a tough urban guy, so I don't know. I'm more of a threat to homicide than be a homicide victim. So we're tough folks, good folks, but tonight, baby, I'm back.
Well, again, I hate that they figured out how to put on jackets, and so the crime rate in Chicago just remains pretty much even keel throughout the year.
Right.
And because truly, I mean, the cold used to drive, keep people indoors, but now not so much. I mean, that's what are you going to do? But all right. So you've been off a month. So we're going to get to your recommendations in the next segment. We're just kind of freestyling it here right now. What are some of the topics that have really piqued your interest over the course of the last month, either that we've been talking about on this show, that you've been noticing in the world, and et cetera, et cetera? What's something that I wish I was on the show tonight?
I'm trying to, like, make it back into more mainstream America, mainstream conservative Republicans. So people I talk to, they say, Jack, you cannot associate with extremist people or extreme things. So I got to ask you a couple of questions about extremism. I just want you to answer these honestly and things like that. So I got to ask you, James, do you ever get drunk, drive a woman off a bridge, leave her to drown and die to death and pretend that you were never there? Did you ever do that extremely bad thing? Did you ever do that?
Haven't done it.
No, that was Ted Kennedy. But, he had a bad day. You know, it's just one bad day. Never went to jail or anything like that. And he's the lion of the Senate. And, like, these conservative, main people say, we need people like that. We need people like that. Okay, the next question is, you ever drug and aimlessly rape a 13-year-old girl, like Roman Polanski?
No.
You ever do that? Okay, no, he didn't do that. Again, another bad day, you know, but this is a great artist. You know, he's there and he never went to jail for a day or anything. Went back to Europe, produced movies to get him, you know, nationally reduced. He gets Academy Awards, but that's a pretty extreme thing, okay? Next question I have is, you ever give student visas to 14 Saudi Arabian Islamists and Al-Qaeda, let them go to flight school in Florida, and then let them go and slaughter 3,000 Americans like that was done by George W. Bush and his neoconservatives? Do you ever do that? That's pretty extreme. Do you ever do that?
I haven't done that either, Jack.
But, okay, you know, all right. You ever go to a dinner party or a cocktail party with Peter Brimlow, former Forbes editor of and then National Review and his beautiful wife, Lydia Brimlow? You ever do that?
I have consorted with Peter,
God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Look out that. You know, you're probably reading hateful books by William Shakespeare and Mark Twain or something like that. So I guess we're not set for mainstream American conservative things like that. But so be it. You know, so that's
very clever the way you unveiled this tonight. All right, so yeah, I mean obviously everybody sees what your point is, and that is, you know, you can kill somebody in a car, you can
rape girls,
be alleged. Right, and you're either going to be a Hollywood icon or one of our most revered senators. However, if you're in the case of Larry Kudlow, you go to dinner with Peter Brimlow, and it's a national scandal.
Yeah, well, Jesus said all people would hate me because of me, but you stand firm with the same. So we've got enemies that hate us. You know, there are enemies. I've been fighting these lying liberal leftist communist people since I was seven, since 1968. And I can always fight and deal with these people. The main proud people I have to deal with is these cowardly conservatives, these sissies, these, you know, these people that...
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and they're just scared that they, like, oh, no, they ever did something politically correct. And they will try to say, like, oh, no, I never tried to kiss a girl when I was 7 years old or something like that. I mean, look at all this just murder and mayhem, hardcore porn everywhere, these terrible wars and stuff. And then you just... Someone gets in your face and calls you a name and says you're racist or politically correct, and then are these conservatives, and these are rich people, they're just cowards. They'll always back down. They make me sick. So that's what I got to deal with. So that's what we're dealing with, but we're not giving in. So that's sort of my take on the last month of this Supreme Court justice. Or this Russian stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a Russian spy behind every bush. They're trying to take over America. Anyone said that in the 1960s? He was crazy, a right-wing kook or something. But now it's just every liberal mainstream people or neoconservatives. Some people made some Facebook posts that said Hillary was rich and we shouldn't go for them. And you're like, come on, man. That's ridiculous. So that's what
What's interesting is if it were true now,
right.
And Russia actually did take over. It would probably be there's no probably to it. It would be an improvement over our present
absolutely.
Situation.
You know, if someone say, are you in bed with the Russians? And I'm like, yeah, I love to be in bed with beautiful Russian tennis players. But you think that Bill Clinton wants to be in bed with Hillary Clinton or, Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Clinton always appointed these Supreme Court justices that are so ugly that he wouldn't associate with them. So, like, yeah, we like beautiful European women like the Russians or something like that. So
well, Buchanan,
guilty as charged. You
know? Buchanan's really been on fire with his columns. A couple of columns ago, he did a piece called The Unpardonable Sin of Tucker Carlson. Column before last, it was on the Kavanaugh hearings, great piece.
Yeah.
But his most recent article is about how Russia has basically given up on any promise of the Trump administration and any hopes that the Trump administration would lead to better days between the relationship between Russia and America, and they have gone back and embraced China. They've turned to the East.
I wouldn't go so far like that, but I would just say the main one is switched. That during I was born in 1961, so I wasn't around for the post-Cold War where they had the Voice of America, where, you know, people in Eastern Europe would listen to America for free media and stuff. The thing is reversed. So the American mass media mafia is controlled by ethnic, racial, and sexual people that hate us. So you got to look for some media in outside of the political cesspool. Look at Russia Today or something in Hungary or something like that. It's reversed. They have freedom of speech from our perspective in Poland and Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Russia, but we don't. We've been deplatformed. I've lost all my PayPal, Twitter, Facebook, all these things. I have to worry. I'm going to be a bail, but I'm going to lose my credit cards kind of thing. So the situation is kind of reversed. But so be it. You know, we have to just accept the cards that we're played for, and I'm not going away. I don't think you're going away. You're not giving up. I don't think so.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's what we're here, and we're here to stay for as long as the audience will allow it. Hey, well, there's the music, so we're going to take one last break for the night, and when we come back, giving Jack a little extra segment this evening to make up for the month he was off, and we're going to go to what you normally get from Jack, and that is his recommendations. Jack's weekly recommendations coming up as we wrap up tonight's live broadcast of TPC. Stay tuned.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We are about to take this one to the house, ladies and gentlemen. Last segment of the evening. And before I turn it back over to Jack, I want to thank Todd and James from Collierville, right here in the Memphis area, for their contribution over the course of the last few minutes. They are part of the 8%ers. The 8%ers. Now, if you don't know what that is, these two guys, love these guys, great guys. And they were at, they've come to both of the conferences we put on in recent years. They were at the one we did last year. And there was a group of eight of us who posed for a pretty impressive picture, if I do say so myself. I don't have the picture in front of me. but printed out some copies of this particular picture. I think it was myself, Jared Taylor, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, some of our other supporters, and another person or two. Anyway, total of eight, the eight percenters. And so they blew up the picture, and they graciously sent us a copy of it, which we still have and we still cherish, and it was just called the eight percenters. So thank you to the eight percenters right here in the Memphis area for your support this quarter and every quarter. Y'all are always there for us. Now, Jack, let's get to your recommendations without further ado. What do you got for us tonight? But if you remember how this worked, now I know it's been a month, everybody, so if you've forgotten how this worked, Jack comes on every week, and it's a book recommendation, a film recommendation, and a musical recommendation.
Well, you got my musical recommendation, which was Baby Come Back by UB40. It's kind of a ska music. They're an English mixed-race band. I like them. They're not political. I just love a lot of that British, English, West Indian. I hate rap music. I despise it, but this was good.
Hey, look, I mean, you know, as far as that goes, some of that early 60s Motown stuff was great music. You know, that's good.
Yeah,
music,
it is. So, I mean, you got to recognize things that are great, and then great boxers or Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, they're great, but this hip hop rap music is not great. It's terrible. It's horrible. I like Superman likes kryptonite more than I like rap music. But anyway, so that was my recommendation.
And it was fitting tonight, of course, for your big comeback after a month off. So.
Well, maybe I'm back. We'll see how long I last. Okay, my book recommendation is Postcards from the End of America by Lin Dinh. And he is an ethnic Vietnamese person that was in the United States from a teenager. And he is very much like Alexander de Tocqueville, Democracy in America, or V.S. Naipaul. He takes trips around the United States and talks about his experiences and the people that he meets, and he goes back. But he's very, he has the same politics that we do. And his same observations about the media, about race relations, about opiates and stuff. He's kind of pessimistic. Looks like he's going back to Vietnam. So that, he's published on the UNS Review, which is a highly recommended website, along with Tacky Mag and Be There, American Renaissance. I highly recommend his work, his observations. Brutally honest, very good person. Lin Dinh, Postcards from the End of America. That's my book recommendations. And my movie recommendation is The Blues Brothers, starring John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. There's not a lot of great movies set in Chicago, but that's one of them. And I think it's a positive movie from a Catholic Christian perspective. John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd were brilliant on Saturday Night Live, but their Hollywood acting things did not go very well, and John Belushi got eaten up by Hollywood and died a bad drug life, and it went down. But I think that The Blues Brothers is a very good movie, and I recommend that.
I like the movie. I like Dan Aykroyd a lot. That was back when comedians were actually funny, and I believe Dan Aykroyd's Canadian. But, you know, now you in this age of Jewish humor where everything's about bodily functions and bodily fluids and all their jokes are tied into excrement. And, I mean, it's just the comedy's coming out. It's just disgusting terrible comedy. But, you know, the comedy's back even as recently as the 70s. I mean, there were great comedies in the 80s, sure, you know, with people like Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and so many of the other people that the white Gentiles from Saturday Night Live. Those people were funny, I thought.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's tough to do. You can be careful about racial and ethnic humor, political humor. I think racial activist humor is good if it's self-depreciation humor. And then, I mean, they did political humor Saturday Night Live, where they did point counterpoint with Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, where he would say, "Jane, you ignorant slut." He would go into him. It was funny and stuff. But now their comedy is just like, "I hate Trump. I hate Trump supporters." Okay, well, we know that, but that's not funny. You know, that's not clever. It's not intelligent. So I don't really want to deal with this. And I just would really – my brother traveled in the Soviet Union in the early 80s, and he just said they had propaganda on all the time, and you couldn't turn off the TV. So the people there would stuff towels in it to try to mute the propaganda. And that's sort of what I feel like now. I just like – at my health club, they have CNN that's coming on right now, and I'm telling them, "I don't want to see this." And they, "Oh, we made some deal." So I just like – I'd like to stuff towels in it and try to not like mute it. It's because it's terrible. And then our comedy is not funny. It just isn't. So that's the way it is.
Well, you know, you're really onto something here with this topic, because used to, I mean, you could tell a racial joke, and it could be where, you know, the whites were on the receiving end of the punchline, or God forbid, the blacks. But it was just a way of letting out steam. I mean, you have that sort of release to where it doesn't become something serious. But now you just can't, you can't escape it anywhere. I mean, obviously, in movies, whether it's drama, whether it's comedy, whether it's action, it's all anti-white. I mean, now there's a great article up at faithandheritage.com about what they've done to the superhero genre now, where it's just so anti-white. I mean, obviously with Black Panther, but even with more superhero movies than that, just all anti-white. And look white, at these award ceremonies. I mean, what are we talking about, these award ceremonies? The Emmys just took place a few days ago. What was that? That had nothing to do with any sort of awards that were being given out. It was just all anti-white, anti-Trump garbage. That's what it was, and it was disguised as an award ceremony.
The award ceremony. For this year, we're going to honor the very good television dramas and movies and opening up. Oh, there weren't any good television comedy dramas in the show. Like, you know, that you've got to, not only have that, but I'll do another article, but these no-fun feminists, oh, God, they have about as much sense of humor as the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. They had a former bitter feminist that was a Miss America pageant winner. She took over the Miss America pageant, and then she said that she was never Trumper and said, okay, we're going to end the swimsuit and the evening gown contest, and we're going to judge people about their feelings and stuff. And the other people were like, well, this is dreadful. Their ratings were off 30%. And then they've got, oh, I'm not a big fan of even softcore pornography like Playboy magazine. They used to have good interviews and things like that, but now they're only down to 4 issues a year, and it's all feminist. Esquire magazine, a former men's magazine, they made, who, you know, they say that who were the 2 sexiest women over the past 2 years, Angela Merkel and Hillary Clinton. I mean, does that tell you something like that? I'm like, that a men's magazine would say that,
well, I mean,
Merkel and Hillary Clinton are the most sexy women. No, they've just wiped it out. Their ratings are gone, and it's just, it's depressing. I you know, I'd rather hang out with Chicago's black gang members than these no fun feminists. I just would. I just feel that they're a curse to our country, and I hope it never comes to the South. And I send them up north. Don't ever let them come back to the South. They're terrible.
Well, you know, what about the ESPYs? You know, now even in sports, they've got the ESPYs where,
right,
I guess it's an ESPN-sponsored thing where they give out awards to athletes. And I think, wasn't it a year or two ago where Bruce Jenner was named the most inspiring female athlete? It's not even a female at all.
I remember I'm old enough when you won the decathlon or that they have it. I don't know. I mean, we've got this actual deal. We've got it, but we just wish.
But this is a serious.
It's like, yeah.
So you remember, now I wasn't around then, but
right.
When did Bruce win the decathlon? Maybe I was. Maybe I was.
I think about 1976. Kid. Probably about like,
okay, I was born. All right, I was born in 80. I was so that was, yeah, a little bit before my time. But
they were trying,
this
to
is a serious
the
question.
60s, you know, the 200th anniversary of the American independence. So they were trying to some rah rah. We beat the Soviets in hockey in the Olympics. It was either 76 or 80. So there he was, a guy like, America's coming back. We're strong. He's patriotic and stuff. So it's definitely a fallen person that he's changed sex and things like
well,
that.
Well, this
but
is
like,
the.
Okay.
Well, serious question. I mean, was he a woman when he won the decathlon?
No, he didn't.
He would say he was.
No.
I mean, obviously he wasn't then, and he's not now.
Yeah.
But I mean, he says he's a woman. Well, he was actually a woman then.
No,
who are you going to believe, Bruce? Or your lying eyes?
He was on the cover of Wheaties, you know, the Breakfast of Champions. So like that, they had. Yeah, no, it's good. It was there. And our enemies are always trying to take the heroes and convert them and put them over the side. So. Look on a Wheaties box now, see some guy, and then know the enemies of our people and the enemies of Christianity will try to corrupt them and change his sex and things like. Can I tell you my Michael Jackson joke? Only in America can a poor black boy grow up to be a rich white woman.
I haven't heard of that one before. That's a good one. very good way to end the show. A little levity to wrap up tonight's installment of TPC. But, you know, the good news is we'll all be back. The gang will all be back together again a week from tonight, next Saturday. It was in 76. Sam Bushman just confirmed that did happen in 76. So thank you, Sam. And we'll all be back next week. We hope to have some support from more folks between now and then to keep us strong. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.